Institut, Sulibona Manik, Kautiga ini kelawat, tap kunung aptuk, Allah ini sekeliak matum, sumati mengia, 71 akawun, anirot, makau manikat lecot, ikatigip mip luwit, nerekatigip luwit, inyugok tit luwit, maningnya kok tuwe apta, tautuk tongenya aksiraktut, kanuk ubangan ketemakan di pelirana calaktut, pirat, aglan agling nak matun itu termana kat lasi jemi aglan atau si nyop lutami ba tamat kosuri jali itu sukto tabal libut makoi nyupaya katibut wana las kami ayak tok sona su tersama pekati kena luit peraksa ibut asi angit lurak matun niluni bijumat but uwaut bijumat tiga rukwak put kerema aglan alat.
His name is Wesley Wood, Sr. I think there's a little misunderstanding about what he's trying to talk about. He's mixed up with native allotments and Native Settlement Act. His understanding is that he can sell his native allotment, and he only got half of his allotted, just supposed to be 160 acres to a person, and he only got half of that. And some of his children hasn't got any allotment. Dari di falat mak ni gokak pit. Tidak betul nak. Ya, tidak betul nak kang sik pit. Ya, he said when he applied for his native allotment, why? I don't know whether this applied to this program or not, but his understanding is different. He's talking about native allotments, 160-acre native allotments. And his understanding is he can sell that after 1991, I think.
Well, the native allotments were ended by ANCSA. That is, unless you applied for an allotment by December 18th, 1971, you couldn't get one. So that since 1971, you can't file for a native allotment. But if you've got one now, then you're fortunate, because 1991 doesn't threaten your native allotment. And your native allotment can't be taxed. But what can happen in 1991 is that the land that is held by Nana could be lost if the shares in the corporations were acquired, were bought up by outsiders, by non-natives, or by big corporations from the lower 48 or from Japan or someplace.
Does that include our allotments?
No, your allotments are safe.
That's what his misunderstanding.
Yeah.
1991, he had a misunderstanding that he would be paying property taxes on his allotment.
No, the allotment, you don't have to pay taxes on your allotment. You won't have to after 1991, and nobody can take over your allotment. It's the Nana lands that are threatened by 1991.
And then he said that children born after 1971, he'd like to see having share or having stock in our corporation.
Sure. Could you put the mic there?
Weren't most of the land surrounding the villages given to Nana? And those would then be taxed?
Yeah, you merged all your villages with Nana, except for the Kotzebue Village Corporation. Right now, your land can't be taxed. But in the years after 1991, your land around the villages could be taxed by the state if nothing were done to change the law. That's the point. Now, that is just something you should keep in mind. Nobody can predict what will happen in the 1990s. But if the state, which gets its 90% of its revenues from Prudhoe Bay, if Prudhoe Bay were to start to decline, then the state might decide to impose a tax on property. And in the years after 1991, it might decide to impose a property tax on lands used for subsistence. Would be a tax the corporations might find it difficult to pay. As I said to Mr. Wood, allotments can't be taxed, so the allotments are safe. It's the corporate lands that are threatened. Now, ANCSA does provide now for a land bank, but if a corporation puts its land in the land bank, it is safe from taxation. The trouble is no corporation has yet been able to get its land into the land bank. It's a complicated bureaucratic procedure. Yeah, maybe we could have your name
I'm Louis Kamak from Ambler. The question I'm going to ask is, if an allotment is inside National Park Service, is it true that you can only live and hunt and fish within the 160 acres, not on the Park Service?
No. I think that somebody just handed me a note here. If you... we have the head of the Resource Commission for Gates of the Arctic National Park. Maybe before I answer that, Jim, you would like to answer that. Could I ask you to do that? Just come over and tell us who you are, and then I knew there was a reason for your coming tonight.
Well, my name is Jim Schwarber. I've been a resident in this region since about 1968, mostly over in the Alatna River country, and I also have a home site. I've been residing at part-time on the Selawik River, about 30 miles south of here. About the question that was just asked, I would need a little... I can't really speak for the Park Service, and I don't work for them. I'm the chairman of the Gates of the Arctic National Park Subsistence Resource Commission. This commission was established under the Lands Act that was passed in 1980, which was actually an outgrowth of ANCSA. It all follows through with the subsistence theme that's come up frequently here at the meetings. The specific question, if he's restricted to hunting on 160 acres, as I understand, the people that have rights for using the parklands for hunting and trapping are the residents of the villages surrounding Gates of the Arctic National Park, for example, if that's the, or Kobuk Valley National Monument. I'm familiar with Geese of the Arctic. In that situation, if you live in Kobuk, Shungnak, or Ambler, you are entitled to continue subsistence activities in the Gates of the Arctic National Park, whether or not you have an allotment there. You're not restricted to private inholdings for your hunting and trapping in the Gates of the Arctic. I think that probably answers your question pretty well, because if you have an allotment there, I have to assume you're a resident of one of these three villages also, and therefore you'd be able to hunt and trap in that park. You know, where you've been doing it in the past and where the communities used that area before also. Does that answer your question?
The answer appears to be yes, if you live in one of these three villages.
Or in Anituvik or Alakakit or Latina, and there's Anituvik Pasnuiksik. What did I leave out? Hughes, I guess, is also a residence zone for that park.
Yeah, that does answer some of the question I asked.
I would like to mention a little more about the commission, but I wanted to wait a little later until after the people here that came to testify had an opportunity to say what they wanted to say. But I could answer some more questions as they come up or talk a little more later. I'd like to.
Thanks, Jim. Well, there's coffee ready. Maybe we should take a five-minute break for coffee and then hear from other folks after that. I appreciate what people have said. Thus far, you've made it clear to me that you're concerned about the land subsistence, and especially, as many of you have said, about the right of children born since 1971 to participate in the settlement. But we'll take a five-minute break for coffee, and then we'll start again in a few minutes. Well, thank you, Art.
I'm going to say something.
Good, good.
I'd like to make a little explanation here about KOTV.
Okay.
People are thinking they're in the air. Some of the people.
Oh, I see.
But they're not. They're just recording. Maybe that's why we're not getting enough response.
Okay, sure.
Upa una katemalekput akuwak KOTZ kun live kun acok tana recording ng yakto niya KOTZ min pirok. Silakun itna ukang nilusi na ismasunga kasi ubungas kanyak ukunung kang sinyak taonun ukaw tigisuk kaksi so ukaw tigising kano ko lilik tilanga matumay lit kutsim tenyak nga nanyaglan kang sirak taonun ukaw tigisi tana kano ko tigisirukun ni tasamay yun eliksi una ukaw tiginyaklu kanukili mga katunawot, kanukili mga ada, tiyanak nga nanyaglan, tiliraw unawak nga, taat na chimik, napesuk tonin yubo, kangaksi masuk tonin, taam na, kangaksi niya ka, taat na, inyuk kinya ukaw kumi, ilaat ni lesko si kalomik, inyuna khatnik tepcho, kanukili khanik pagmuwa, itna, tamani tanna pichuk salau kuri ukallak tuma.
Maybe it's my turn to talk.
Yeah, I think it is.
My name is Art Douglas Sr. from Ambler. I'd like to say a few things. What had happened and what might happen. Before ANSCA took place, our life was simple. We don't have to worry about our future. We only think about the subsistence life. We gather food, gather wood. Don't even have to look around the corner for somebody to watch us hunting. It was that way. But since then, 1971, things start happening in our lives that we have to learn and cope with. Like they put up these monuments, wildlife refuge, and Gate of the Arctic. There are some restrictions in those areas that you have to watch. And we have to learn and understand what they mean to us. They were especially made for us, not just for the white man. If they were made for somebody else, they wouldn't have put them up, those monuments. If that land between here and Kayana is open to public, let's take a look at the people, homesteaders, farmers. It's a good hunting area. It's a good thing they put up those monuments because it keeps people away from our hunting grounds. And our lives today is different. Our children act different. Our children want more besides the new clothes we buy at Christmas, at the first day of school, special occasions. People are getting more and more reluctant to our lives. They act different. In a sort of way, we all act different now since that Native Land Claims Settlement Act. And I would like to make a recommendation to the people that wants to know and want to find out about the land claim, that they be careful not to let other people make their decisions. This Settlement Act ought to be brought up to people that residing in the areas, and ask them, how would you like to get this? How would you like it to be settled up? They didn't ask us that. We rely on people with little brains that can talk English. And the people that wants to follow our example, that's what they shouldn't follow. They ought to be asked for their opinions, how they want this done. And I hope people will find out from this hearing about the people's feeling. The Congress have set up rules that we have to follow by, that we don't like putting dates and deadlines and all that. People ought to be asked and talked to like we're doing now with interpreters. There's still a lot of people with not enough education to understand all the English language. And this is a good thing that happened to us tonight. And then I would like to see, before the 1991 comes along, that these children born after 1971 be counted as shareholders. I'd like to see that law changed. And I'd like to see shareholders sell their stocks to their corporation as the first priority, instead of selling it to non-native. Because from experience and by reading the newspapers, we can see the eagle eye on our land and stock. People are rich, millionaires. They don't care about money. All they're looking for is stock, to be a stockholder of some corporate corporation, so they can have a voice. We know today that non-stockholders are holding shares in some lot of corporations in Alaska, and that we can't help because it's come by mixed marriages, and we can't help that. And that we people that holding native allotments or to take care of our lands, improve them. If you don't improve your native allotment, it's nothing to you. It's just like you're not the owner. If you get your F number on your native allotment, just go ahead and build some little shack or fish racks, so everybody will know that that's yours. It is yours. And what I want to say is that in case people read about our testimonies here tonight, well, go ahead and do whatever they want to by learning from our testimonies in Alaska, like Hawaiians and Canadians. They want to do the same thing we did, but they're having a hard time. Otherwise, they're losing out on their native culture and customs. In order to keep holding on to your customs and cultures, you gotta have land to go by with. If you're out of land, you're nothing. We gotta belong to the land and take care of our land. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Douglas. Thank you.
You'll translate for me when I stop, okay?
Yeah. Okay. I'm Louis Kamak from Amler. What I'd like to address tonight is the ANCSA. I feel that ANCSA was written by lawyers and attorneys, and probably could only be understood by them. The average ANCSA shareholder probably couldn't understand this written document. Since it could be changed, I would urge this commission to take extra steps to change it. I feel this document should be written by Native people for the Native people. I would also like to point out that our land, which rightfully belongs to the natives, is being taken away by the state and federal government. this is a threat to our people, not only in Alaska, but throughout other parts of the country. Our people have their own laws, which is custom. We have our custom laws.
He want me to translate to this into Eskimo. Wa una ako pag ukora laktok taman nagok tarumia salmon ag mit tape chona perot lawyer pit attorney igmingarin kang siyakang mengisinyak aglahuding inyupani ubuhut kang siyakasaptit nik ukamik taman nahin todu kalak si magali ilan inyupani taman na lo inyakuplu takugok inyupet piksodat inyupani yuk lo kaktut tarama inyunah kamiknik inyuna kami ng wani lit ko sa kami ni tema liyok tere longat inyupet. Taman na rin ilit ko sa dip lugu taro mga nung namun inilakorok simmeo minyakpan tap ko ukakwiye simmeo kasi niya kap lugu taman na kanok piyo minyakpata.
Since we have our own laws, which is custom law, I feel that we don't have to go by every law that's written by the white man. our people have very excellent management on our land, the animals, and our way of life, which has been passed on generation to generation. Our land is like our parent. It provides us food, clothing, and shelter. Without our land, we would be homeless. We'd be like orphans.
Inyo periyok taman na langat tama inyo na sabtit nili ilis ko sa mga kunitok bahin nunaut nunaptit nili nunawun manna ang ayoka matun ubaut itluta neripcak mayatiut at nuwaktit katiut inakaktit mayatiut nunapta tat naklu tamanna tutu kalaw nira inyupanun ang alasit kuplu inyuyuk ang alatiksut nunamiknik ang uoranganik matumia sumek.
I also feel that Fish and Game shouldn't put regulations for the people. I feel that our people could do a better job than some college graduate that comes here to put regulations on us. I also feel that all the regulations could be made by the native people that live on the land and could be much better off than that is written from Washington, D.C. or Juneau. Those laws we don't get along with. I'm sure if we were to write our own laws, we'd be much more happier. Let's see what else. Not too long ago, I heard that 24% of our native shares in the 12 regional corporations is owned by white people. This is through divorce settlements and inheritance. As you can see, we are losing a lot of our shares to white people. I wish there would be a law made that would stop this. another thing I heard about was in the villages, in the bush villages of Alaska, that the native people now have 52%. And 10, 15 years ago, it used to be 97% to 100%. So you can see that there's a lot of white people moving in.
Tamannaguk ayunalak wani sumik napenyalak idetkurik samik hatuni inyuperyok inmiknik angalalugu inillaglugu pikparung nakuluktuk ilisamagat inyunalak ting upogok sulit usaruk tema wani kulin malgunik kooperasmi alaskami itot terima 24% nalar me no ning niplu tamanna share nalar me mik tuba khati qahuni inyuk pe ami terima avit namik taru mungak taktok suli tuba khatni inyupak itkhilik so khanarik ngalas jang me taktokupman taru masuli panic pirak taktok tanah hunne inuga eksiruk tamanna nalar me pigliti kanga pakma
I also would like to speak a little bit about the Park Service. The Park Service have written in their written documents that we could hunt fish, but after going through so many things with the ways of white man, we're starting to wonder if this will be kept on. It is like we don't trust what they write. We as Inupiaq people have reinforcing custom. That is, we could go out in the park and live the way our parents used to live. Some of you might know that not too long ago, Anaktuvak Pass had a lot of hassles with the Park Service. The Park Service didn't want them to hunt on their hunting grounds because they feel that the reason they wanted to stop them hunting caribou was that they said they cannot use three-wheelers. So they had a big fight over there, and I feel it's only a start. So, another thing I like to bring up is Ambler Mining District. The people within Nana have expressed time and time again that we don't want roads to this mining district, that we have to keep in mind and make sure that this doesn't happen, or if it does happen, that the native people be that we make sure that they let the native people speak out on this matter. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Komek.
Dam nasule kotira lakat hamma wani. Park Service kakpat dan hamba hanak tawang upluku aglan kromi rukuk kakma anak tiwang mit hatel nip luwich taruma ilioni three wheelan igu unin pitlechut inna ukora laktuk suli una pinyapicho mining Ambler Mining Tapko Jusara Kavut Tahama Kanoting Big Pata Inupa to Kaksimarut Tahama to Machak to Machamana Peace in Naklu Ase Kanolu Inupa Pisul Hat Kip Yalu Big Pata Tahama Inupa Tapko Kilikaluit Jukakwiluit Pirak Sarige Yok
Maybe I could just comment on a couple of things that Mr. Komak said. When Congress passed the ANCSA back in 1971, they issued shares to all the native people who were alive then. But they had to think about the question, what would happen if some of those people died. So they said, well, if you have shares and you die and you leave them in your will, or if you don't leave a will and they go by the rules that apply when someone dies without leaving a will, they said they can go to non-natives, but the non-natives don't have the right to vote in the corporations. They wouldn't have that right until after 1991. But a lot of people have died since 1971, and sometimes their shares have gone to non-natives. And Mr. Komak also pointed out that when there have been divorces, and the property's been divided, sometimes the shares have gone to somebody who's non-native. And he said 24% of all the shares in the corporations are now held by non-natives. That's not quite right. It's 24% of the shares of the people who've died since 1971 have gone to non-natives. So it's not really 24% of all the shares, but it's 24% of the shares of the people who've died. What happened to their shares, the people who died after 1971? 24% of those shares have gone to non-natives. I think it's around 24%. I'm not quite sure. But that shows a tendency, and if people keep on dying, as they're going to do, between now and 1991, you will have a growing block of non-native shareholders. So that's one of the built-in features of ANCSA that will make it more and more difficult to sort this out as 1991 approaches. The other point that Mr. Komak made was about Anaktuvik Pass. We held a hearing at Anaktuvik in August, and we heard all about the dispute with the parks people. And I think the parks people were really concerned about all-terrain vehicles, ATVs, more than the three-wheelers. That was the impression I had. But maybe Jim could tell us a little bit about that later on. Because they use ATVs over there. And
a vehicle called an Argo is eight-wheelers.
Eight-wheelers, not three-wheelers. If you go to Anaktuvik, you'll find everybody's got the eight-wheelers, the ATVs, the all-terrain vehicles. And it's those vehicles that the park people were saying, don't take that into the park. It wasn't the three-wheelers. Anyway, it's okay. All right, it's both.
They want to keep the land as it is. You know, they want to preserve
yeah.
it. They're doing a study at Wrangell because their vegetation is almost the same as ours to see what will happen by using the three-wheelers.
Well, maybe we could get to that a little later. That's it's an interesting subject. It's complicated by the fact that it was an exchange of lands between the regional corporation and the government that last year meant that the access routes to the park from Anaktuvik were under the jurisdiction of the park's people, and the people from Anaktuvik used to just go over those lands because they belonged to the regional corporation. The regional corporation then sold them or exchanged them to the parks people, so they then just couldn't get in their eight-wheelers or their three-wheelers or anything else and just head across. That was the point. Anyway, I had to come here to Shungnak to learn the complete story about Anaktuvik. Yes.
It also happened
Yeah, uh-huh.
There'll be rules made too on the heart service closest to Amber by unimportant, made later. And I think we should learn from Anaktuvit about their problems so we could see what's ahead for us.
We appear that kind of different and they should get their animals in place. They don't stay in one little spot. Even the plants, like berries and greens, we have to walk way far out with the boat or anything. It's inland and the weather cold. Sometimes when I plant garden, just like a little bean, those potatoes don't grow much and we want green, all right? Sometimes it turns out all right when the weather stays warm in summertime, short warm days, and we have problems from cold weather now. They used to have deer, but they're carried away from caribou, and they have to look for long ways out.
What I am about to say and what I've been thinking about for a long time will be mostly to be addressing my own people, to help them understand more, not only to help you, but to help them, if I can be of any help to my own people. Thank you all for caring and participating. Thank you all who made this hearing possible. To my fellow natives, let's clarify the importance of our life and any concern on the ANCSA. No one will do it for us, and if we don't, whoever does, insert and use his own judgment on our way of life. It doesn't matter what it is. Thank you to our native leaders for having done what they thought was an only chance and thought it was only right. I strongly urge them to think about what every one of us have said and are saying. We are speaking as natives, their people, and hopefully the native people will be the best advisors, consultants, counselors they ever had and will have. We are natives, still actually living off the land and with ways of doing it. We need to respect each other and others around us. We are good people. We have a lot of good in our ways, in good nature. We all make mistakes, and I think we all know that. Our leaders never were, never will be different, no matter how anyone thinks of them. The important thing is mistakes can be corrected, to show respect toward each other, to share opinions of our past history and of life and present, to make corrections on our mistakes, to keep them, those things that should not be changed is good. In reality, some of us are more into the Western society than others. My concern is for those of us still living the way we people had and to keep what we should. Out here in the villages, when wind talks land, we are sensitive because of our actual daily living, food, etc. The very sense of living off this land is a great concern. We still pick berries, roots, and still fish, etc. Up here, people like us are Eskimos living in the Eskimo waves. We have for years. They're countless. I can't name a number. I think that ANCSA will never fully, to the extent possible, advocate and stand individually for the real native part of us. I think the ANCSA is not totally native. It is written in the Western adopted ways. It has that business nature where the land is collateral, just like a car or anything. And anyone or any, in one way or another, gambles with it. And Western laws apply to it. We have a limited say on it. The ANCSA, if it has to be there, should be for the good, to help us, but not take away our way of life. This is the native personal part of us. Talking about land is about our everyday personal individual part of us. Our ancestors survived because of the land.
A large portion of our diet today still comes from the land. What if sometime in the future the food is still on the land, but our land is taken away and in the hands of others who wouldn't permit us to go out and hunt for the game, etc., with no money to pay to hunt if that was the only way? Think. In this modern day and age, you have to pay for everything. What would we do? According to the elders I grew up around, lived with, and elders were taught to our elders are trying to do their part. Don't forget our ways. They are vital to our survival. It is important that new corporations don't take this lightly. For our key to survival, our people must keep their ways, teach them, and preserve them. Our Creator made us the way He did. He gave us a way of life and laws within it. This shouldn't be meant or understood as prejudice toward any other ethnic groups, etc. We need to think very seriously about our native ways and how best to save our land. The way I see it, right now our land is subject to laws and ways of the Western society. It is written in an adopted Western form. Our people need to understand this. The ANCSA has some good intentions, and some of us are, and some of our future generations may be educated enough to utilize it. They should use it wisely. Presently, and I think it will continue, that we can't forget ourselves and others out here in the villages and how we actually live. The thing is to think of our land. Collateral is not the best way to think of our land. Treat our ways with respect. I think it's very, very important. Our elders tell us in their way of speaking. Listen to them. When I see the Inupiat values, they were and are our ways. They are laws. Those who have been chosen of as our real native leaders, the traditional councils, have been values, have these values as backbones, laws. I don't think they fit very well in the ANCSA. They can be accessed to be changed and finally to the point where they'll be completely lost. Our Inupiaq values are respectable. Our RAs, and the statewide United Tribes of Alaska are valuable and respectable, our key to survival. Native people, respect your ways. Elders continue to remind us through facts. I am not a good speaker, but I speak as an Alaskan Inupiaq. I eat cock. I cannot be anyone else. No one can change me to become anyone else. Do the same for our native ways. They cannot be anything else. No one should change them. We are good people. We are not out to outlaw others or shove our white friends or other ethnic groups and relatives away. We just want to keep our way of life until we can, like, adopt or live a better way or whatever. Our ancestors lived here first. We are first natives. We must respect that. I hope any non-Alaskan natives respect our way of life and settle with good nature, true facts. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. If you were a neighbor, her name, she didn't give us her name.
Virginia Kamak.
Her name is Virginia Kamak.
Anyone else have anything to say?
Where are we going to? Okay. Well, if no one else has anything to say tonight, just let me thank you all for coming.
Could I just give time for?
Sure. We were going to meet again in the morning, but everyone is still here, so Jim would like to talk about the work in the park, and maybe this is a good time to do it. So why don't you start, and if everybody leaves, we'll have to postpone it till the morning. But just before Jim does begin his presentation, our plan is to meet again here at 10 o'clock in the morning, so you're all welcome to return then, and if anybody would like to speak then, well, we certainly want you to feel free to do so in English or in Upiak, and we'll carry on tomorrow, we'll be here for any of you who want to come down and speak, or anybody who spoke tonight and has something to add, feel free to come again tomorrow, because we're not leaving until the afternoon, so we might as well be usefully employed sitting here listening to what you've got to say. You go ahead, Jim. Give us your name again, and then tell us about this organization. And the three-wheelers and the eight-wheelers.
Well, I'll answer questions on the Nativik thing, but I'll get to that after just giving a brief introduction on what I'm involved with here and why I wanted to be here and to make a brief presentation to the people of the region here. As I understand, the Native Lands Act, the Alaska Lands Act, which was passed in 1980, that was an outgrowth partly because of some notice deficiencies, and when Angska was finally settled, there was an extinguishment of Aboriginal hunting and fishing rights, but there was still the question of the continuing cultural use of fish and game for subsistence uses, which is in some circles is considered separate from the Aboriginal hunting and fishing rights, is the ongoing use of subsistence. And when Angska was finally passed, there was no provisions made for subsistence, but in the record on that bill, you'll notice that the state of Alaska and the Secretary of the Interior felt that there would be an adequate land base and provisions made to protect the subsistence uses of the local people in this region without having to put it into that law. Between 71 and 80, there was some second thoughts on that, and in the lands bill, there was a whole section devoted to subsistence called Section 8 or Title 8 in Anilka, the law that created these monuments and parks around here in the wildlife refuges. I am here because part of that subsistence title, which makes a priority for subsistence uses on these lands and puts some federal legislation to protect your rights for hunting and trapping and fishing in this area, created for each of the park areas Subsistence Resource Commission, and I have a letter here that I was going to be sending to the village here later, but I'll read it now since the people are here and I'm here. And I'm here to let the people of the region here in Chungnyak know that the Subsistence Resource Commission for Gates of the Arctic National Park is now functioning. This commission was established by Section 808 of Title 8, the subsistence part of Anilka. The commission is composed of 9 members, 3 appointed by the Governor of Alaska, 3 appointed by the Secretary of the Interior, and 3 appointed by the Arctic and Interior Regional Councils. And these 3 members must also be subsistence users of the park. Currently, over half of the members on the commission are subsistence users in the park, and I'll mention briefly some of the members on this commission. The Roosevelt Paniak from Anituvik has been on the commission. Amos Morey was the first year, and his term's expired. Zachariah Shugo of Anituvik is on the commission. Homer Tobuk, Larry Edwards from Alatna is on the commission. There's Dan Wetzel from Fairbanks, and currently Rick Caulfield from Fairbanks are on it. And I'm not sure if that adds up to 9 or not, but that's the majority of the members. There's two Fairbanks residents, and the rest of the people live in the region and are subsistence users. None of these people, including myself, none of us work for the Park Service. The regional councils and the Subsistence Resource Commission were established for the purpose of enabling rural residents who have a personal knowledge of the local conditions and requirements to have a meaningful role in the management of fish and wildlife and of subsistence uses on the public lands of Alaska. Prior to the writing of a subsistence hunting program for the Gates of the Arctic National Park, the commission will be holding public meetings in as many of the resident zone communities as possible. As your village is one of the communities whose members are allowed to subsistence hunt within this park, we are looking forward to hearing your concerns, learning from you, and working with you to see that the subsistence hunting program takes your subsistence uses and concerns into account. In addition to the hunting program, the commission will also serve as a forum for discussions, resolutions, and recommendations to the Secretary of the Interior dealing with subsistence in its broadest cultural sense also. And we'll also be reviewing existing and proposed fish and game regulations for this park, and also reviewing the National Park Service regulations and management of subsistence. The Subsistence Resource Commission is expected to stay in existence and have at least yearly meetings after its program is adopted. These subsequent meetings will be for reviewing how well it's being implemented and whether or not any further recommendations are necessary on a year-by-year basis to make sure that people's subsistence uses are accommodated. After this draft subsistence hunting program is written and reviewed by the various communities and other groups, the final version will be submitted to the Secretary of the Interior. The Secretary of the Interior, quote, shall promptly implement the program and recommendations unless he finds in writing that such program or recommendations violates recognized principles of wildlife conservation, threatens the conservation of healthy populations of wildlife in the park, or would be detrimental to the satisfaction of subsistence needs of local residents. So that's what the plan that we haven't written yet, we're just having our first meetings, that's what this plan is for. And we'll be working closely with all the communities and all the people that'll be affected by what we're trying to accomplish. And it is my hope that the program we develop will both have the heart to meet the needs of the subsistence users of this area and also fit within the framework of the existing laws so that the Secretary will be able to adopt it. Anyone wishing to submit written material or to be put on our mailing list may write the Commission at the following address, and I'll state it into the record here. It's Gates of the Arctic Subsistence Resource Commission. It's in care of Post Office Box 74680, Fairbanks, Alaska 99707. And on the general record here, which is mostly addressed to you people, in addition to the other indigenous peoples of the world, is that I would suggest that other people that are negotiating a land claim settlement now would not forfeit their rights to and the control of such a basic cultural trade as providing for your own food supply, be it by hunting, fishing, or subsistence farming. Because I'm optimistic that this process I outlined to you in this letter will work, but I'm also concerned of how well the local people's needs will be met by having to deal with the Park Service on this matter. And I'll be willing to answer any questions now or discuss that Anituvik thing if there's anything further on this issue.
I'd like to know on the Upper Kobuk, way up on the Upper Kobuk River, what is that? I was late for that fish and game meeting they had concerning that Park Service up there. Is that a parks?
That's part of Gates of the Arctic, but it's the section that has been classified as Park Preserve. That is the only basic difference between that area and the park. The park itself is that non-local hunters are allowed to fly in there and hunt. So you have either guided hunts or residents from Fairbanks or Anchorage flying up and are able to use that area, while the rest of the park, only the local residents are able to hunt in there. Yes?
Did you have Art translate that preserve and the park?
I could reiterate briefly. The park preserve is open to hunting to anyone, and you're also, as I've found in the regulations, that you are allowed to use aircraft to fly into the preserve to engage in subsistence, though there's a definite prohibition on using aircraft to fly into the national park. I've heard from the Park Service that you cannot use an airplane to fly into the preserve to subsist, but I disagree with them on that, and as long as people from Fairbanks can fly into the Upper Kobuk and hunt, I sure don't see how they can be consistent and say that the people from Ambler can't fly to the same place and get out and shoot, you know, and hunt. But that's an interpretation. That's something that I think will be addressed in the plan, that I'm going to have it clear that as long as there's access for hunting by aircraft for anybody in this state, that the local residents are going to have that same privilege. But I should let Art try to, you know, summarize the difference between hunting, who gets to hunt in the preserve and who gets to hunt in the park, and the access restrictions from one to the other.
Are you trying to say that people from other part of the state can fly in there? That's what you're trying to pick up into a law?
No, the way the law that the NILCA itself states that the park preserves shall be open to hunting by the public, while the park, the areas that are just strictly park areas, like the Gates of Eric National Park, only people allowed to hunt there are the local residents. There's no restriction on who can go in to the preserve unless there need to exercise the preference on subsistence. If the people feel that there's not enough game to, if the game, there's not enough resources there for them to meet their subsistence uses because of either the populations being lower or because of hunting pressure from non-local residents, both the state and the federal government is compelled by the law to take steps to stop hunting by non-local residents so you can continue to hunt yourself and meet your needs and not impact those game populations.
That preserve is right about no-attack.
The very upper no-attack is park, though most of the no-attack national preserve is a preserve area. The question I thought was on the Kobuk.
That was a question because my husband said when he lived in Kobuk all these years, that's where they usually go hunt, way up there. And the fish and game thought that they don't, you know. The Kobuks from this river don't go way up there to hunt. And he said that's the best place to hunt where there's hardly anybody. Now there's going to be planes flying around and restrictions, possibly.
Well, if, like I said, the commission I'm involved with, if the people here feel there is a problem with a competing use in that area, we can make recommendations that be stopped. And any interference with your subsistence uses by other users is not allowed by law. And that you know, if the commission doesn't do anything, and if the Park Service doesn't do anything, and if the State Fish and Game Board doesn't do anything, there's provisions in the law that you can go to court and sue that those people are stopped from hunting there. Your protections of being able to meet your subsistence uses in these areas are very explicit in the law, and you know, hopefully you won't have to carry it that far. But there are provisions, strong provisions in the law to protect your continuing use in perpetuity for hunting up there. I'm concerned, I understand there are probably concerns here in this room, that the Park Service may attempt to find ways to phase out subsistence. And I don't know if, you know, they deny that, but I think it's going to be important that the people be vigilant and not permit things to occur that will be impacting their subsistence, because the law is set up to help protect, to provide for the continuation. It's one of the purposes of the law, is to provide for the continuation of subsistence in these areas. So the law has a good basis to protect your uses, but you still have to deal with the Park Service and their management. That's one of the reasons I'm on this commission, is I am concerned that the Park Service may take advantage of their role of managing the land to also try to manage for subsistence instead of dealing with the commission on a working basis. I've had some dissatisfaction with my working with the Park Service so far from this commission. It's too early to tell whether or not my dissatisfaction will continue, but I would appreciate your help, and the commission would, in trying to plan for subsistence in the park so that you can continue doing what you've been doing.
On that, the place where I'm talking about, what part is that? Is that a reserve, you said?
That's up to almost, I'd have to look at a map, but approximately Walker Lake area is where the boundary is. Below Walker Lake, it's preserve, and south of Walker Lake is preserve. But from Walker Lake and north and east of Walker Lake is National Park, and Walker Lake itself is part of the park.
The Fish and Game is planning to make a brochure for people in Lower 48 and all over Alaska about that park and canoe so that they can canoe all the way down from that place up there, all the way down the Kobuk River, past these villages or wherever they want to. And if they make that brochure, everybody's going to be attracted to it.
Well, that, are you saying Fish and Game is doing that, or the Park Service?
Park Service.
They were asking us to see if we would like that, if we'd like the brochure, and we were objecting to it, giving our reasons why we were objecting to it.
Sure, I understand.
But if we don't want some things in there, you know, they won't do it. But they have a feeling that they're going to make it.
Yeah, there's a...
I mean, they're pretty sure that they're going to make it.
The Park Service is engaged in what's called a general management planning process right now. And part of that planning process, what they're trying to determine from people, is whether or not they will advocate the use of these areas with brochures. There's a lot of
comments they've been receiving in meetings such as the one you've mentioned and from some of the environmental groups in Fairbanks that are opposed to encouraging use like that and having brochures like that. I don't think there's not a policy yet. They're trying to make a policy. If you're strongly object to it, I think I'm going to make a note of that too, because that affects the subsistence uses for sure.
Because there's going to be one information center at Onion Portage too, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Amber already okayed it, and they're going to be probably plan to float all the way down and bother all the fishermen. All those rafters will be bothering people. If they make that brochure.
I think some of these people still can't understand that preserve above North Cap River, it's allowed for hunters from Anchorage, Fairbanks, and also up by Walker Lake, right?
Below Walker Lake, the Noatak National Preserve, there's no restrictions on who can go there as long as there's no interference with the subsistence use.
That's where...
There's a, you know, it's conditional.
Hunt through battle.
Right, I understand that.
Okay, these people should know that.
Okay. Do you want to translate that? The park preserves... The park preserves have hunters that come in that are not residents, and that is allowed right now.
Tamna makunani park service ni napakangi jiwa kananilu kikirumanilu tamna inyupet hat larut nanagaktuk larut sumik pinyang na larut ingming inyuni ikhsamik nik Ari tamat kunani ilangi terhama preservik te tagi se kakto terhama inyuk nakit nyakto yumi awak nga mani inyu nakto ngunakit cumuni tarunga hat laro ngupluni sunet laro ngupluni pangma tatna inilaw memaruk ari uwawut inyu nak tone tamatumani tat na chiling mi islogan a chiptigu nipibut to sap kaktak sari wut tap kununga tat na chimik in ilerak ton naru yuptigu ting miluni inyuk terunga kalak takpan nagaka nagrun nagak tak sikpan naru yuptigu ukodigilu tap kununga tat na chinik Malego taksanik inilera onun piyupta tamna kang simailu piyupta nakuruk tatna tamatko manyumat inilakangit itna uwaptit nun niyunak taonun kaningat ni tatna ilisko sa gitto pinyang naktok tatna inilakangit aglano ba awak naktanik pitlak Pitlarok kakit lu tamna ilok tong nacuk waptit ni ami takuwa kam makabunga kabunga lapak tagrak tahuting hatjuro tukarmi tagrak tu tak nacim ilon tamna isumati lu kang simak silu piruk sorut.
Maybe I could just tell you about a recent land claim settlement in Canada by Eskimo people in Canada, because it bears on what Jim and Louis and the others have been talking about, subsistence. In the Mackenzie Delta, you were telling me about driving the reindeer herd to the Mackenzie Delta back in 1931. In the Mackenzie Delta, there's about 3,000 Eskimos live there, Inuvialuit. And they have spent 7 years negotiating their land claim settlement with the government of Canada, and they just signed their land claim settlement in August, that is, in August 1984. And under it, they gave up a lot of land that they had traditionally used, just as you did back in 1971, and they got they got fee simple land, just as you have under the Nana Corporation, but they wouldn't give up their subsistence, their Aboriginal rights to subsistence. They said, no, we won't surrender those, because they had come here to Alaska and looked at your settlement, and they didn't like the idea of giving up their Aboriginal rights to subsistence. So they have their fee simple land, but then throughout the whole area that constitutes their traditional lands, they have exclusive rights to muskox and grizzly bear and brown bear, and they have throughout the whole area a subsistence preference, but it's subsistence preference only for Eskimos. Now there are some white people living there now, and they will be allowed to engage in subsistence until they die. But when those white people are dead, those are all the white people that will be allowed to engage in subsistence. In other words, no new white people can come in and participate in subsistence. So when those white people die, the only people left who will be allowed to participate in subsistence are the native people. Now, they have certain rights to caribou, the porcupine caribou herd as well. But they have their fee simple land, but they insisted that in their settlement there should be an emphasis, that they insisted that they should keep their subsistence rights in perpetuity. Now, bear in mind that those people had the advantage of looking at your settlement, and they decided on that. Another thing they decided was that they wouldn't have shareholders corporations. That is, they have what they call the Inuit Trust, and everybody who is a member of that Inuit group receives a certificate of trust, and the trust holds the land. And everybody who's alive gets a certificate of trust, and when they die, their certificate is canceled. You can't give it to your children, or you can't give it to your husband or your wife or somebody down in Texas or California. But everybody who's born, every Inuit baby that is born, receives a certificate of trust. So each generation acquires an equal interest in the trust, and so the land is passed on from one generation to the next. Now, those Inuit people had been to Alaska, and they looked at your ANCSA idea, and they said, no, we don't like that idea. We think that it should just automatically pass from one generation to the next. So the other agreement they got was they said to the government of Canada, we don't want you to tax our land. So the government of Canada signed an agreement saying, we will never tax your land as long as you're using it for subsistence. We will never tax subsistence lands. Now, if they find oil and they start making money from oil, they have to pay taxes on that. But as long as they're hunting and fishing, they don't pay taxes on the land. Now, that was an agreement that just they signed this August, and they negotiated for a long time, for quite a few years, because they wanted to make sure they got an agreement they felt they could live with for a long, long time. So I just was thinking, as Jim was explaining about all these, you know, commissions and meetings and everything else, that this recent agreement in Canada that the Inuvialuit have is one that gives the Eskimo people perhaps more control over subsistence than any other agreement that I can think of.
I have a question. Is that on their exclusive use rights to the use of this species, that include they're managing it themselves too? They're not beholden to an outside like game board or a
they have the quotas are set by a game board that is half Inuvialuit and half the government.
so they have automatic rights to half the members of the game board. In the Yukon, which is, you know, just across the Yukon Territory is just across the border. I was in Whitehorse last 2 weeks ago because the Indians there, there are 6,000 Indians in the Yukon, Athabascan Indians, and they are just making their settlement right now. And they have an elaborate, they've been negotiating for quite a few years. And they have an agreement that on certain rivers, they will have 50% of the catch in perpetuity, forever.
Of fish?
Of fish, yeah. That's, well, yeah. Depending on the river and depending on the fish, yeah.
Catch and takes.
I don't know what else you catch in a river. Maybe old rubber boots, maybe.
I was looking at the ecosystem.
Okay, sorry. And the idea is that even if more white people come in, and they are coming in, the Indian people will still keep 50% of the catch every year. Now, on some rivers they get 90%, some rivers less. It depends on the river, it depends on the species. And they also get half of the moose in perpetuity. They get half of the woodland caribou. And then, of course, the barren ground caribou, they get more because that's farther away from where the white settlement is. But it's interesting that they've been negotiating for quite a few years, and their leaders said to the government of Canada, now there are 12 villages here, and there has to be a vote in every village on the land claims agreement, on the land claims settlement. And unless 10 of the 12 vote in favor of it, then we won't accept it. So they had the vote, and 9 villages accepted it, and 3 didn't. So they said, well, we won't sign this agreement because 3 villages didn't accept it. So the government of Canada said, okay, well, look, we don't want to lose all that we've gained in this negotiation, so why don't you sit down and tell us what changes you want. So they all met 2 weeks ago in Whitehorse, and all the villages met, and they had their representatives, and they had a 10-day meeting, and they asked me to come to tell them about Alaska. They wanted to know what I had learned in all this traveling, so I met with them, and they, I don't know what happened, because they were still meeting when I left, but, and the native people in other countries, Mr. Douglas and others mentioned Hawaii. They have been, Hawaiian natives have been to Anchorage, and they want to know what's happened with the settlement here. Australian natives have been to Anchorage to find out what's been going on, and even people from Norway, the native people over there, the Laplanders. So everybody's kind of interested in knowing how yours has worked out. I know you're interested, too, in knowing how it worked out. So unless there are any more questions for Jim, maybe it's we should adjourn. So thank you for coming, and we'll start again tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, and you're all welcome then, and we'll see you then.
Thank you very much. I know that's hard work. Thank you.
Yes, and thanks to our interpreter, Art Douglas. He worked harder than anybody.